This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Oh, 6 in the evening, you're with Lynn and Kelvin. And we wanted to talk about something that's been on our minds a lot lately, because we wanted to explore a little bit the realities of living in an industrial town. We've been thinking about it because, of course, of the situation in Pasir Gudang. We spoke with Sean Tanis of the news desk a couple of days ago about this. And the scenario that he describes of it becoming sort of normalized, right? The fact that there have been two major situations with schools closed, with students affected, and there is a sense of people just kind of going about their business. And
because what else can you really do about it?
Yeah, and I thought it was pretty, like, an evocative image, simply because, well, we think about ourselves as Malaysians, right? But here in KL, we live very KL cities. We live very city lives, you know? It's very focused on what you can do. And if you were to transpose us and our jobs and our lives just right outside of KL to any other major city within Southeast Asia, it probably wouldn't differ that much. There would be language differences, there would be things like that. But the daily rhythm of our lives would probably be pretty similar.
Yeah, though the context and the living conditions would be quite different, specifically in Pasir Gudang, gas detectors in schools and the slight stench near factories have just seemed to become part and parcel of living there.
That's right. And that's because they're not cities, right? They are still industrial towns, which really makes up the rest of our country when you think about it. Mass Tech Minister Yeo Bee-in has said that she wants to make it compulsory for all chemical factories in the district, and there are quite a number, to adopt the schools nearest to them and provide them with mandatory gas detectors. The factories are also required to conduct continuous air quality monitoring at these schools.
And the Johor government is thinking about relocating high-risk chemical factories and creating a buffer zone between industrial and residential areas. These are, in their minds, long-term solutions, which understandably is something you could have expected to be in place already.
Yeah, because when you think about whether or not an industry is safe, you assume that everything has been done, right? That all manner of safeguarding would already have taken place. And as we're seeing now, considering, like I said, that this is a pretty short span of time for two such incidents to take place in, that's clearly not the case. And what's happening in Pasir Gudang isn't necessarily unique. It's something we've heard of before. There have been places like Pulau Indah, a hub for recycling factories, both legal and illegal, where the odour of burning plastic and fumes were a staple in the neighbourhood.
And it's not as if residents living in industrial zones can move easily. You know, when we spoke with Sean, he had a conversation with several residents there who felt that moving isn't an easy option, either because they just have their lives and their jobs attached there, or it's just an impossible task of selling their homes. Once news of pollution hit, I'm sure property prices must have tanked.
Yeah, so obviously, like we said earlier, Pasir Gudang is not the only place. It's not the only town like it in Malaysia. You know, increasingly as we talk about creating jobs, as we talk about inviting industries to open up, as we talk about FDIs even, we are looking at that. We're looking at more and more towns being based around specific industries and taking on board certain risks that go along with that. Because it's one thing to say, yeah, look, you know, this town, this industry is going to bring in money, this industry is going to bring in jobs.
Yep.
But as we're seeing, there are clear risks associated with all of it.
And it does seem as if in some instances, when it comes to Pasir Gudang, the thing that crossed my mind was the fact that shouldn't sustainable development, wasn't that a part of the initial plans when they were thinking about building the city already, building the township or building the sector? It doesn't seem as if it was part of it. And I just wonder how this situation that we're in now might reflect in our future plans to develop such zones.
Because it's not as if, like you said, they are going to stop. You know, these are important parts of the economy. These industrial hubs and towns are going to continue being a part of what makes up Malaysia.
Yeah.
And if you consider the fact that, like, every time we talk about developing hometowns, every time we talk about trying to develop areas outside of KL, urban centres that aren't necessarily focused in just the few cities that we have, there's always this talk of, yes, we need to encourage people to stay back in their cities, to stay back in
their hometowns. We don't want them coming to KL.
Yeah, don't create more traffic, don't drive up house prices, things like that. But then, of course, the flip side of that is, like we said, you might be staying in a city where, or you might be staying in a town where having to check for poisonous gas or, you know, for hazardous gas is just a daily occurrence of life. Having to consider the fact that school children have to have masks accounted for, just a fact of life. And so we wanted to understand this a little bit more. We wanted to get a look at how to develop industrial districts, the kinds of risks that are taken on, the kinds of safety measures that need to be put in place as well. So we're going to be speaking with town planner Haji Ihsan Zainal Mukhtar, who's president of the Malaysian Institute of Planners. That will be coming your way after this. We'll have him on the line. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
It's 6:13 in the evening. You're listening to Lynn and Kelvin, and we're talking today about the realities of living in and planning for industrial towns in light of what has happened in Pasir Gudang. What are the risks involved? What kind of safety measures need to be put in place in order for residents, I suppose, to feel like that's a good place to live?
Yeah, you know, you can bring in the jobs, you can bring in the wealth that's associated with the jobs, but how far can money bring you if you don't necessarily have the best living conditions, if you don't have your health?
It's quality of life, isn't it? That's really what it comes down to. So on the line with us is town planner Haji Ihsan Zainal Mukhtar, president of the Malaysian Institute of Planners. Thank you so much for joining us. Could you explain how industrial districts are developed and why some areas in particular become industrial towns?
Okay, we have got to look at it in the national context. And when Malaysia in the 80s, I would say 90s, we were going on a full industrialization program. So in terms of planning, national planning, state and district, there has always been an allocation on three basic land uses, which is residential, or residential and housing, commercial, industrial. So it depends on the state plan. For example, Shah Alam is a planned township which includes a large industrial area, but many smaller towns, some are planned and some has always been there due to the location of the resources. So yes, these locations usually are based on needs of the country, of the state, or where the resources are located. Yeah.
Could you give us an example of that process of developing an industrial area?
Okay. When we plan for a new township, the one that controls land use are the local authorities. That, I think, has to be cleared. Local authorities like Kuala Lumpur or Seremban or even smaller towns, they are governed or controlled by what is labeled as a local plan. So the local plan will identify where the industrial areas are, what size, and these are based on the guidelines provided for by Plan Malaysia as well as by agencies like MIDA and the DOE. So if you have a small town, smaller town usually, what they do is when we are planning the area, it's planned through an instrument that's called the local plan. So all government agencies are referred to, and we will discuss the needs for an industrial area, its location, and depending on the kind of industries that the district feels or the town feels that it wants to attract, so it will plan those townships according to that industrial need. And in some cases, because of, like I said, location, for example, if you talk about Ipoh, right, it is more formerly of a tin mining town, so they were the industries that are related to tin mining is planned for. And you have other examples. If it's in a town near rubber or palm oil, so the industrial area will be to those downstream industries to support the hinterland. So basically, how an industry is located depends on the needs of the area. And also, if you talk about then the state and national planning, and then it depends on what was planned for. And usually, for example, for bigger industries, it's near port towns or very specialized industrial area.
So with that then, can you take us through the design and planning of industrial towns? Because, of course, this whole conversation is happening because we were looking at Pasir Gudang, where based on news reports, there are over 2,000 legal factories and only 111 schools.
Okay. So I think when Pasir Gudang was initially planned, it was with the target of getting a certain number of a population size. So schools itself has a guideline. So probably 100 plus schools was planned based on an expected large population around the industrial area, which also should include the residential area. You can't have, you see, at one time, or our industries is based on labor intensive, if you like. As we move forward now, in this millennial, if you like, we are moving towards a more technology base, you know. So at one time, the purpose of having the industry and how we get to the number of schools and all that is all based on standards. Certain numbers of industrial will create a certain number of jobs, and therefore you would need certain number of residential areas, and you expect certain number of population to be coming in to support the industry, and that's how the number of schools come about. Now the problem then is then. Among the guidelines set was, for example, a buffer, a distance of 500 meters, for example, for certain toxic kind of industries. But those guidelines, I feel, need to be reviewed because the standard that was applied before was looking at industries purely from the possibility of pollution from the exhaust, what they produce through the air pollution, water pollution. But now I think they have changed, and that the distance alone might not be sufficient as a form of control. Now, MIDA have classifications of industry, class 1, 2, 3, 4. So you have your most basic industries like maybe sawmill, but you also have now higher tech of industries which also produce toxic that needs more control. So the issue is also part of it is control, administration, supervision, making sure that the guidelines are enforced and so on.
Do we roughly know how many industrial towns there are in the country? And what's the current state of the bulk of these towns?
Okay, you can't really say, well, you can say Pasir Gudang is among them. You can say Kulim High Tech is another. These are planned township. You create this industrial area so that industries are attracted to come. You provide them the proper infrastructure. So the exact numbers, I don't know. But these industries form a very important part of the local economy. And they do need to be relooked at, how we plan them, how we locate the type of industries. We can't use just the current standard, just the physical location. You know, we have to look into other things. Like, I think we need to have more detailed studies. We need to see the type of industries that we have. But basically, there are some industries, for example, that are located near ports. It's the most effective way in terms of the commercial aspect, but maybe not in terms of the quality of life aspect. So, you know, there are certain things that we have, the way we have done things before, need to be looked at.
So when an area does become an industrial town, what kind of social or economic impact does it bring?
Okay. You know, the thing is, this word is kind of bandied around that we have to be sustainable in our development. But we also have to be sustainable in terms of being economically sustainable. It's no point if we control, say, by not having an industry or by not having certain activities that provide jobs. So sustainable have to be looked from all aspects, socially, economically, environmentally. So, you know, you can't be just looking at one aspect.
And another thing that will have a big impact on it, on the industrial sector, is automation as well. Does this affect the planning of industrial towns?
Yeah, if you look at the way how industrial revolution started, and now we have reached this stage, I think you're familiar with the Industrial Revolution 4 or IRR4, things have changed. The dynamics of the industries have changed. I think even as late as the 90s, we were still looking at industries from the manufacturing point of view, you know, that you need this to have jobs. And they were looking at it as an opportunity to create jobs. But now, in the new Industrial Revolution, it takes a different scale. You don't need as many people to be involved. There's machines, there's automation, there's technology. So how things are looked at, how the industry is looked at in terms of its standards and guidelines is different from what we used to practice. So we're practicing the guidelines, which is applicable maybe in the 90s, but in the year 2000 and in the new millennium, things have changed. So we have to look. Technology has also changed. And we should use our current technique and knowledge to plan better township and industrial area.
So we're seeing things enter the picture, right? Like automation and pollution. Are industrial towns particularly vulnerable to things like these? And might they have that sort of negative impact?
Not only Pasir Gudang, but globally, even other towns that has a strong economic base that is based on industries per se, they have to look at things differently, meaning that the economic base cannot be just dependent on one sector. Formerly, maybe we were looking at ports as entry point. Now, there are airports as entry point and exit point. So the kind of services that's provided under Industrial Revolution 4 will be different. And probably because of modern technology, you don't have to be located near the ports or near residential areas as before. Probably we can have purely industrial area located quite far away from townships because we have faster trains. We have better ways of controlling the pollution. So it's a complete relook. I would think that the authorities, the industrial players, town planning itself, you know, we can't do things the way we have always been doing. We really have to relook back at the standards and the guidelines. And but the basic thing, enforcement is also important. The news about they're burying things underground and it only coming out now shows that we were lacking in enforcement or we were ignorant of the consequences. But, you know, each factory, as a concept in design, each factory that produces toxic components or has an output which is dangerous should actually process it in situ, meaning at the factory itself. So whatever water and air as a byproduct of that factory should already be cleaned at the factory through scrubbers, water filters. But, you know, as you know and as most of us know, that does not happen. So this is the issue then. It's an issue of the industries themselves being honest about it and enforcement making sure that this kind of incident doesn't happen. So there's two aspects. Yes, we have to look at the standards. We have to relook at the designs. We have to look at how we do things. But we also have to ensure the old-fashioned enforcement is in place.
And mentioning enforcement, what else do you think needs to be done to keep industrial towns livable?
We have to ensure that, like I said, those that are in existence, we have to be stringent in setting guidelines, in setting standards, in ensuring that the older factories, if you like, or the older industries subscribe to newer technology, newer ways of filtering the water, you know? Newer ways of ensuring that the byproduct that's put back into the air is cleaner, more monitoring. You know, we can't do without industries, but we can definitely put more regulations and not to stop them from being productive, but to stop them from polluting. You know, when you do this kind of things, everybody loses. Everybody. So I think this mindset that, you know, the industries might complain that these guidelines and this method that the authorities might want to introduce is too expensive. No, nothing. It's too expensive when it involves lives and the future of the country.
Isan, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was town planner Haji Isan Zainal Mokhtar, president of the Malaysian Institute of Planners, talking to us about industrial towns, mm-hmm. industrial zones, and how they come to be and the kinds of things that we need to do in order to improve the quality of life there. Weigh in, tell us what you think. Have we been a bit neglectful when it comes to this issue of industrial areas? You know, have we kind of left it all up to chance? Have we planned it insufficiently? You can let us know. tell us. Call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.